shall we? I'm going to be reading today a couple of companion verses beginning in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 30, going down to verse 35. Then I'm going to read another verse from Exodus, chapter 34, verse 20. Leviticus 19 said, saying, Jesus was speaking here, saying, go ye into the village over against you, into which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. If any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And then in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, in verse 20, this was a command to Israel, but the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. I want to preach today on this subject, the donkey and the lamb. The donkey and the lamb. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. My brother-in-law told me that one of the funniest things that he ever saw was a donkey basketball game. Has everybody ever seen a donkey basketball game? Okay, we have some witnesses here today. I have never seen a donkey basketball game. I don't know how they dribble or shoot. Well, they don't. But if I ever get a chance, I'm going to see one. If I understand it correctly, instead of people running up and down the court, they ride donkeys. And as you ride the donkey, you know, donkeys kind of have a mind of their own. And they kind of do what they want to do. And my brother-in-law described it as, you know, the donkey would want to go one way and the man would want to go another. And so he had tried to make the donkey do what he wanted him to. The donkey would just sit down, start braying. And the more he pulled, the more stubborn he got. He was not going to move. And so eventually, of course, the donkey would win. And he'd stop pulling, and the donkey would get up, and they could go on. But that's just kind of how donkeys are. They're known to be stubborn. An old cowboy told me that if they had a bull that they just couldn't make him mind and he kept running off, they would just tie him to a donkey. And they'd start out and that big old bull, that old strong big bull, he'd drag that donkey all over the place. But after a while, it may take some time, but they'd look out there, and wherever the donkey was going, the bull would just follow him. You know why? Because he got tired of dragging him. He'd bite the bull. He'd kick the bull. He'd just dig all four in, and the bull would have to drag him, and he just wore him out. Because donkeys are known to be stubborn. That's just a part of their nature. Now in North America we kind of look at donkeys in a different way, but in Bible times they were actually a very noble animal, and as a matter of fact they were more than horses. It was what people rode in Bible times. More people rode donkeys than they did horses. As a matter of fact, it was one of the first animals that was ever domesticated was a donkey. And donkeys were, they were family pets almost. And every house Every household had a donkey. When I was in Israel years ago, I looked outside the window and I saw early in the morning, I saw a family. Apparently they were taking the kids to school. There was a man and there was a woman and there was a little boy and a little girl, and they were all going down this path, and they had a donkey, and the man was riding the donkey. The woman and the girl were all walking, but the man was riding the donkey. I thought, now, you know, women's lib hadn't got over here yet. And so here they go riding the donkey to school, and it was just it was out of the Bible, like you'd see in Bible times, and so donkeys were very common. I actually saw a field one time, and there was a donkey pulling a plow, and further over in the field there was a tractor plowing in the same field. We had a modern day John Deere and an Old Testament John Deere in the same field, and it was very interesting to see. So the donkey is a standard part of biblical life. They were the tractors that they used. They were transportation. People rode them, and they used them in the field. As a matter of fact, donkey caravans were very common. They would they were like freight trains or trucks in ancient times. They carried cargo. As a matter of fact, a donkey could probably carry more weight for its size than any other animal. If you've ever seen pictures, and we have one somewhere, in Colombia, it's very mountainous, and up in the mountains, you've heard, you know, Folgers. They say Folgers coffee is mountain grown. Well, all of it is. So I don't know what's so great about that, but it is. And so they're high up in those rugged mountains, and you can't get a vehicle hardly up there. So they have donkey trains. And those donkeys, they train them, and they will load coffee. And you'll see those donkeys just coming down the mountain on the donkey and bringing the coffee down. And the same thing with bananas. They in the bananero, they have donkeys that you'll just see them with big old stacks of stalks of bananas, and donkeys are carrying them. And so they're an animal that is used to hard work, and they're an animal that can be a very noble creature. And they were dearly beloved in Bible times. The family donkey would, you know, they'd put ribbons around his neck and beads and dress him up the best they could. They're very sure-footed, and in mountainous regions, they're better than a horse. They're not as clumsy as horses are. They're more sure-footed than a horse is. And so donkeys were a prized creature in Bible times. But donkeys were ceremonial unclean. You weren't supposed to eat donkeys. But we know that in Samaria, in that bad famine, when the famine came upon Israel, that they actually sold a donkey's head. There's not much meat on a donkey's head, by the way. But they would sell one for 80 pieces of silver. That tells you how bad the famine was. They were selling unclean animal to just the head where there's little meat. And that's how much money. It was a tragic time in the kingdom of Israel. Donkeys are extremely strong for their size. A lamb, on the other hand, comparatively is weak. Donkeys are independent. That's a nice word. They're self-willed. Well, they're stubborn. A lamb, on the other hand, is very dependent. Have you ever heard of a wild lamb? It's a picture that just doesn't come, does it? You know why? Because a lamb can't survive by itself. It's easy. A lamb gets away from the flock, and the shepherd gets worried, because if he don't find him pretty soon, he'll be lamb chops for somebody. Because they have no... A donkey, on the other hand, the Bible talks about the wild donkey. And nobody worries about the donkey. He can bite and kick and snort and run. He can take care of himself. You don't want to tangle with a wild donkey. You see the contrast? And yet, the Bible tells the donkey and the lamb. Beginning with the redemption of Israel out of Egypt, in the book of Exodus, we have the story. You remember the last of the plagues after Pharaoh had hardened his heart against God, and time and again until finally God said, all right, and all the plagues had passed by till finally there was a final plague. It was the death of the firstborn. The Bible says the firstborn of everything in Egypt died, from Pharaoh's son to the houses of the poor, and in the flocks and in the herds, the firstborn of everything died. And because of that, Pharaoh delivered or told Israel that they not only could go, but he demanded that they go. And he set Israel free at great cost, but finally he was convinced to let them go. And then the next chapter, Exodus 13, the Bible said, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Everybody say, the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. And so the firstborn of everything belonged to the Lord. Every firstborn male in a family, it was the Lord's. And a last sacrifice had to be made to redeem that. The firstborn of every animal belonged to the Lord. It was sacrificed, except for the donkey. That's what we read to you a moment ago. The donkey was a little bit different. The Bible, I guess because they were so common and they were so important, almost essential life. And so the Bible said of the donkey, it said, verse 13, it said, of every firstling of an ass, thou shalt redeem with a lamb. He said, if you want a donkey, you have to substitute a lamb in its place. You can't keep him alive. You have to break his neck if you don't want to sacrifice him, the lamb, to me. So he's saying that in order for the donkey to live, something has to die. He has to be replaced. He has to be ransomed. He has to be redeemed. And so for every living donkey that survived the firstborn, something had to take its place. Something had to die in its stead. And that, of course, was a lamb. The lamb was the sacrificial animal that took the place. And then we read to you a picture, and it's so powerful. There's a lot in these verses. Going back to Luke chapter 19, if you'll take us back there. The Bible said that Jesus was coming up from Jericho to Jerusalem. And as he got to Bethany, just a couple of miles outside the city, and they could look across the valley, came to the Mount of Olives. Looking across the valley, they could see the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus turns to two of his disciples, and he says, go into the city. He said, when you get there, you're going to find that, it calls him a colt, but it's a donkey. He said, when you get there, you're going to find this colt, this young beast that is untamed. Nobody's ever ridden him. Nobody's ever sat on him before. And he said, when you get there, he said, I want you to take that colt and bring him to me. And, you know, it's the only place in the Scripture that I know of where Jesus ever rode. Before that, he was always walking. I heard years ago about a boy that wanted to borrow the car, and his dad was having a hard time getting him to get a haircut. And his standard, like so many have said, he said, well, Dad, I don't want to get a haircut. He said, Jesus had long hair. He said, yes, he did, and he walked everywhere he went. You want the car? Get a haircut. You want to be like Jesus? Walk. There's a lesson there somewhere. And so Jesus said, bring him to me. Now, this was, can you imagine the disciples going down? They see the beast tied and they untie him. And this guy comes running out and said, hey, what are you doing with my donkey? And they said, and here's what, they said, the master has need of him. And he said, oh, okay, take him in. Amen. That's right, Brother Fry, the Lord knows who to give the donkeys to. Amen. Amen. You see, God can give donkeys to some people and then get them back. But he gives donkeys to some people and they want to keep them. Amen. And when he knows who to give the donkeys to, and that goes for everything else. Amen. If God gives you a car and you say, the Lord gave me a car, then, if somebody needs a ride to church, you ought to be willing to give them one. Is it the Lord's car or is it your car? Amen. And so you see, things that we give to the Lord, we say he gives it to us, then let's use it for him. Let's use it for his glory. Let's use it for his honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's not be like the little kid that's going to church. He had 2 quarters for Sunday school. By the way, kids still need Sunday school offerings. You ever send your kid to Sunday school without an offering? It teaches them the act of giving. Amen. So the little boy's going to school, to church, and he has 2 quarters. They gave him one for the Sunday school offering, and they gave him one for himself. And he is going along, and of course you know how kids are with money. Took it out of his pocket, and all of a sudden one of them fell out of his hand. It fell down in the drain beside the road. He said, I'm sorry, Lord. There went your quarter. Well, why was that the Lord's quarter? Amen. But God knows who to give the donkeys to. Amen. And I pray that I'll always have that spirit that, yeah, Lord, you need him, he's yours. You need him, he's yours. Amen. So they brought the donkey to Jesus. The Bible says that then they cast their cloak on him. They took off their outer garments and they threw them on the back of the beast and they set Jesus on top of him. And then he rides down off of the one side of the mountain of Mount of Olives and it's the valley and he rides into the city. Now, we have to understand a little bit about what's going on here. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet had said this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And so he says, when the Messiah comes, he's going to be riding on a donkey. And so when they see that happening and all the commotion, now you've got to understand this. Jesus has a price on his head right now. The Pharisees already offered a reward to have him brought to them so they could destroy him. But Jesus doesn't sneak in a back alley somewhere. It was already written in the Word, amen, that he was going into the city and Jerusalem would know that their king was coming up on the back of a donkey. And so we see this awesome picture of the Lamb of God riding upon the donkey, the beast of burden. And he comes into that city, both the redeemed of the donkey and the Redeemer who was the Lamb. And we see them together as they approach the city and ride through the gates. The people see him. They remember this verse in the book of Zechariah. And they take their garments off and throw them in the road. And they grab palm branches and they begin to wave them, saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they're waving their palm branches. And they're giving praise to God as the Lamb enters into the city. And they recognize that their king has come. My, what a picture. You see, it wasn't unusual
when a king wanted to ride into a city and in peace he rode on a donkey. When a king wanted to ride into a city as a sign of war, he rode on a horse. So Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey was saying, I come in peace. I come in peace. Amen. But Revelation chapter 19, we see a different picture. Amen. Revelation, the 19th chapter, and beginning with the 11th verse, he said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, which no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus comes back again to the battle of Armageddon, he's not coming on a beast of burden. He's not a donkey, but he's going to be on a white horse, and he's going to come in victory. He's going to come in power. He's going to come in judgment, and he's going to come for triumph. Amen. What a picture we see as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey. And people recognize the picture, and they begin to proclaim him Messiah. The same crowd that cheered him in a few days would jeer him. The same people that at that moment said, Hosanna, save us now, saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, in a few days would be saying, crucify him. People are fickle. I said they are. People are fickle. And I've noticed that after working with this for 40 years. I've had people say, Brother Grissom, I'll never leave this church. Well, they're gone. Please don't ever say that to me. Say anything you want to say, but don't say that. That makes me very nervous. It seems that just before people get ready to exit, that's the last thing they say. I'll never. That's what they told Jesus too, wasn't it? Well, Peter said, all these other flakes may leave you, but hey, I'm going to be here. Yeah. Well, it wasn't so. So Jesus rides into the city, and they proclaim him Messiah. Amen. The Lamb riding on the back of the redeemed. Amen. You see, he said, if you want to keep your donkey, you have to sacrifice a lamb. Two most common beasts in Israel was the donkey, and the household had a donkey and a lamb. Even poor people had a donkey and a lamb. Almost everybody had a donkey and a lamb. But if you wanted to keep the firstborn, you had to sacrifice the lamb. Amen. I don't suppose there's a truer picture. Now, I'm not calling anybody here a donkey, but I am that we have a similar temperament. Donkeys can be wild. Somebody wisely said, the only wild animal is a human being. I mean, other animals just do what they are. That's what they are. They're animals. You're supposed to be better. You have reason. You have morality. You have the ability to do better. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be disciplined. So everything else is wild by nature. You're wild by choice. We're wild. Some of us get wild. And in our culture, it's become a thing of pride. And then donkeys are considered to be self-willed, stubborn, independent. Amen. And that addresses humanity so very well. Amen. But in order for the donkey to live, a lamb had to be sacrificed. And in order for us to really live, there was a lamb that took our place. Jesus came with one purpose, and that was to be our sacrifice. The lamb came so that we could live. Amen. The lamb came so that you and I could have eternal, abundant life. Without him, you're not really living. The Bible said, if any man hath Christ, he lives. If any man hath not Christ, he's not living. You have Christ, you're alive. Really alive. Without him, you're just existing. Amen. The donkey and the lamb. You want to live? The lamb. You got to have the lamb. He took your place. Somebody said, well, I didn't ask him to. Didn't matter. He did it anyway. Amen. Justice. Years ago, a man wrote a song, and that was the name of the song, Just in Case. Amen. I went ahead and died for you, just in case. Just in case you wanted to turn to me. Just in case you wanted eternal life. Just in case you wanted life abundant. Just in case. And together, the lion, or the donkey and the lamb. The donkey and the lamb. Without him, donkey can't live. Amen. Without him, donkey can't live. Without Jesus Christ, we really don't have life. Amen. Anybody need the lamb today? You remember when Israel was ready to leave the land of Egypt for the promised land. The Lord said to them, he said, you get you a lamb. Everybody's got to get a lamb. Every house has to have a lamb. And you get the lamb and you keep him in the house for about a week, and then I want you to slay the lamb. I want you to pour his blood into a basin. Then walk over to the door and put it on each side and put it on the mantle above. And then he said, I want you to roast the lamb. I want you to eat the lamb. Put your shoes on. Get your garments on. Because you're getting ready to leave. Amen. The Bible said when the death angel came and he saw the blood of the lamb, he would pass over that household. But if he didn't see the blood, the firstborn in that household would die. In every house where there was no blood, the firstborn died. Amen. We still need the blood of the Lamb, folks. We still need the blood of the Lamb. That's what's going to get us from death to life. That's what's going to get us from earth to heaven. That's what's going to bring us from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. We've got to have the Lamb. Without the blood of the Lamb, there is no redemption. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How about it today? Have you applied the blood to your life? Has the blood of Jesus covered you? Does it cover you today like a cloak to hide your sins and your transgressions and wash you clean? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How about it today? Amen. If you need the Lamb, he's here. If you need to find Jesus, he's in this house. He's not difficult to find. He's not hiding.
He's prominent. He's present. He's made himself known. Just come to the Lamb. Jesus, I need you today. I need your blood to cover my sin. I need you, Lord Jesus, to bring life to me. I want peace. I want joy. I want to live in your righteousness. I can't do that on my own. I need the sacrifice. I need the Lamb. Praise the Lord. I need the Lamb in my life today. Hallelujah. We need Jesus most of all. Praise God. Amen. Somebody want to come and give your life to the Lord, to the Lamb of God today? He's wooing. He's calling. He's reaching. Amen. He's talking to somebody. Amen. Somebody that needs a cleansing. Somebody that needs to feel real life. It's been a while since you really felt alive. You need Jesus today. You need Jesus today. Amen. Oh, what can wash